come in because they're going to come in and go, hey, mom, dad, where am I supposed to sit now? So that's going to say, and just like last week where we have the sharing first and then go into musical praise after this. And with that being said, I'm reminded of the scripture that I was sharing right now as we do two things. I'm going to share from Psalm 100 because it's a great reminder that all of this is worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Finally, before I invite our brother Dan to come and share, a reminder that, see, I'm not used to doing these announcements anymore. Pastor's been doing all of these, so forgive me as these all come into my head. A reminder, whether you're giving online or giving in the fellowship, that you can do that through the church's website, which is missionvillage.com/1. So forgive me. Thank you. So Mission Village Church is thank you. So reminder of that. Also to be praying for the day in general. Like I said, there's a lot to go on that's going on in our world. And in all this, God is in charge. And so let's bow in prayer and then we'll invite our brother up to share. Father, as we see the things that are happening throughout not only our states, but the world, God, we call out to you and trust you and know that you have all of it under control. And Lord, that through all of this, you've got a plan. And you say to lay our needs at the foot of the cross because you paid for all of it. And you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will never leave us, never forsake us. And yet by your divine providence, we'll take all of these things and through an inkling, through our eyes, we'll see your glory in through it. So, Father, we pray for our brother right now as he comes to prepare the word, share the word. We pray for your protection around him, that he would have a freedom to praise you with the words which you've pressed upon his heart. That we thank you for his support from the stuff that is handling locally and, of course, to his bride, Debbie. We pray that you would bless their unit, their families, an extended family, and, God, that you would just have free reign in that which you've shared with our brother this day. So protect him to that end, that we might be honored and glorified as we share your word together. So these things we lift up in your precious and powerful name. Amen. And at this point, the children are excused to the lawn for Sunday school.
I do.
And welcome Dan Bender. Many of you have had the privilege of having him share with us, and a longtime friend and missionary. And God is glorified. He's working through you, and we see that.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
This is fun, weird, different. I've preached in a lot of different situations before. I've never had the bulletproof glass. It kind of makes me feel like a pope or a president or somebody really, really important. So it's weird, but cool. Thank you so much. This is different for several reasons. Normally when I come as one of your representatives, talk about the ministry and the work. This is very different this morning for two reasons. Number one, I'm coming just to share the word as a pastor, and I'm a very concerned and brokenhearted pastor, as I'm sure you can understand. But I'm also coming, it's also different for me because I prepared a message that I really, really liked, and it was well prepared. I tweaked it for weeks and weeks, and then Debbie and I had to fly to Idaho for a family emergency, and I couldn't come in May. And so when Pastor contacted me, I thought, ha, slam dunk. I've already got the message, the PowerPoint, the graphics, everything done. And then the Lord began to move and put in my heart that maybe I needed to share something else. And in light of what's going on, I reached out to Pastor and said, hey, would this be okay? I gave him the two choices, a coward, basically. I said, would you pick which one is the most appropriate for our body Sunday morning? And he said, I want you to go with the talk on responding to injustice. So that's what we're going to look at today. Very appropriate. So I greet you in Jesus' name. I thank you for years and years of friendship and prayer and support and involvement with Debbie and I and our family and our ministry. And I always have to call attention to Debbie because she always asks me not to. And being the stinker that I am, I point her out. You all know her. But Debbie, wave or stand or something. I will pay for this, but it's still fun. So, yeah, she gets a medal for putting up with me. So I come as a concerned shepherd today. I have a heavy heart. Our world, our culture, our reality is a new reality, and things are changing. The older you are, the more you've seen change. Change isn't always bad, but it's sometimes uncomfortable. But this is just a different feeling, a different sense of our culture and our country than I've ever experienced. And I was a child of the 60s, so several friends and bloggers and writers have compared it to the 60s. And I've said, well, I see some similarities, but this isn't that. This is still different. So I'm a concerned shepherd. So listen to the heart of a concerned prophet years ago from Habakkuk chapter 1. Because the cries of justice ringing out in our streets is not new. Listen to this concerned and brokenhearted prophet of God. You don't need to open your Bibles. You can just listen right now or you can follow on the screen. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Does any of that resonate with any of you? Do you see in your mind or feel in your heart what this prophet was experiencing? Many are crying now out for justice, and there's so much coming into our lives through media and social media and all the writings and the opinions and the blogs. It can seem at times overwhelming. I have friends that have gotten off Facebook forever. I've got friends that have stopped watching the news. I'm kind of addicted to Facebook and the news, and it is really, really difficult. But I believe the scripture can teach us how we respond to injustice in any situation and in any manner. Now remember, the scriptures were written to a specific group at a specific time. But we can take those examples and apply them to our situation. And I think we need to learn to do that in a manner that pleases the Lord. What does God's word teach us about injustice? I found many scriptures. Let me just read you a couple from Proverbs. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. You that have been reading the Bible a while, you know that that word abomination is a strong word. From Jeremiah 22, thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. You can feel the heart of our God coming forth from the writings, the speaking, the oracles, the Word of God given to us hundreds, yea, thousands of years ago, people in similar situations crying out. You can go to the last book in the Bible, to the book of Revelation, and they say, "How long, O Lord?" People that have been oppressed or people that are righteous see things going on and you wonder, why doesn't God do something? One more, Isaiah 61:8. "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them." I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Nehemiah. You may have an actual book version or your phone, tablet, device, whatever you have. Nehemiah chapter 1. We're not going to deviate from that this morning just simply because of the sake of time. We're going to talk about a situation in the book of Nehemiah. I'm a history guy. I would love to show you charts and maps and show you what's happening with the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, and all that is going on with the prophets. Suffice it to say that a lot of scholars believe that Ezra and Nehemiah go together, and perhaps even 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So we're talking about a time in the period of the history of Israel that is very complicated, very heartbreaking, and at times disastrous. If you Google the city of Jerusalem, you'll find that Jerusalem has been attacked, besieged, destroyed, conquered more than 40 times. Some say more than 50 times. Temples have been built and destroyed and rebuilt, and it's just really, really bad. But this morning, we're going to look at just one aspect of that: the walls outside of the city and the gates. And I'll try to tell you a little bit about why we're choosing that. So I want to read through these verses quickly and then make a little comment a little later. And then my friend and I have a little drama, a little skit cooked up that may help you to reinforce the point in your mind of the right way to react and the wrong way to react. So Nehemiah chapter 1, and I'd like you to start in verse 4, please. Nehemiah 1:4. "As soon as I heard these words, his friends have come and brought him bad news." Horrible news. He's shocked. He's verbally been traumatized. He is heartbroken immediately because of the report of what's happened back home. "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, 'O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments.'" Verse 6, "Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants." Look at the next part. It's going to be important. "Confessing the sins of the people of Israel." And I'm going to stop there just for sake of time. Now, this is going to be tricky because normally when I do some kind of drama, would you check the camera view and make sure that he's in view in the seat right over there? We're good. Okay, I would normally be a lot more hands-on and interactive, but you're just going to have to take my word for it. So would you stand, please, and come towards me just a little bit? We have to keep distance. That's fine. So I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation, okay? You had your eye on a brand new Toyota Camry for quite some time, and you custom ordered it, everything about it the way you like. You traded in a vehicle. You had saved up a bunch of cash. You'd taken money out of accounts and all that. You went into the dealer and almost paid for this bad boy. And you made just a couple more payments, and it's completely paid off. And you drove it to church, and it's out there in the parking lot. Everybody with me so far? You understand the scenario? And somebody runs in the door. What's your name?
Ned.
Ned, N-E-D?
Yeah.
Somebody runs in the door and says, Ned, oh my God, I can't believe it. But the kids just were skating by. They just totally keyed your car. All the way up and down one side, the trunk, the hood, and down the other side. It's one of the worst jobs of keying I've ever seen. And I couldn't do anything. They rode off on their skateboards and scooters laughing, and they're gone. All right, first, we didn't set this up at all. He has no idea what's coming. Try to put yourself in that situation emotionally. How would you react, Ned?
My mind would start turning, and I'd be like, oh, where did they go? You know, try to run out there and try to find them.
Okay.
What's my deductible?
Okay, so there'd be fear, there'd be money concerns. Would there be any anger?
Yes, there'd be.
Would there be thought, if I could get my hands around their neck, maybe I could have some justice here? I don't know what kind of a guy you are.
I'm not sure about that part, but definitely I would want them to pay.
Okay, without
parents to know.
Without hurting yourself, go, oh my God, and run like you're going to go out the door. Oh my God.
Oh my God!
Okay, that's enough. Come back. I know he's off camera. All right, come on back in. How many can relate to this story and think that his response, fear, money, anger, what am I going to do? All those things are normal and justifiable.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you an alternative plan. And of course, being one of your representatives, I have mastered my emotions and my self-control. So because I have the wisdom of a Jedi, I can just stand up here and tell you exactly what we should do. Thank you. Some have even said I look like Yoda, but I'd really prefer that you don't go there. All right? So I've got 8 things. If you're a note taker, they taught me in grad school, we're never supposed to give you lists that long. I'm really sorry. But in the scripture, verse 4 and 5, I found 8 points. 4 of them, if you're tracking with me, 4 of them you do just within yourself before you act out and do anything else. And it's extremely important. So Ned, if you could stand again, please. Come a little bit close to me. I just told you the really, really bad news, and you just go make some kind of motion like you're distressed, and then what I want you to do is to go sit down. Church, if you can get this point, please. This is really important. I've been working for years with people with post-traumatic stress and forms of trauma. People that have been victimized, people suffering with addictions. I work with refugees and whatnot. And over and over again, we have learned the power of human emotion and about the other side of your prefrontal cortex. Whenever we switch to emotion, which God designed for us to fight, flight, or freeze, God created us that way. But whenever we switch to that instinctive, impulsive, normal human reaction, a lot of times things go wrong. If we can shut that down, if we can learn to minimize that and stay in our thinking part of our brain and logically reason. Step 1, this is what I need to do. Step 2, step 3, or whatever. Okay, now why am I teaching you this? Why are we looking at this in the Bible? Why is this important? Because there is so much propaganda in your world right now. People masterfully have studied computer and science and psychology, and they, if they can get your emotions, they can manipulate you. They can lead you if they get you to respond emotionally. You know what I'm saying is true. You've seen it. You felt it. The news media, Facebook, your neighbors, your kids come home from school and say, Mommy, Grandma, somebody bullied me. We automatically go to emotion. Look what our example did. He sat down. So step number one, hear. He heard the bad news. Listen carefully. Be very intuitive. Be very cautious about what you read, what you research, what you're listening to. You need to listen with discernment. Biblical discernment, not with your emotional eyes and ears. Number two, he said, I sat down. Why I had Ned sit down? Because it shows pause. Put your emotions on pause. Calm down. Sit down. Think before you speak. Can I get a witness? Anybody have trouble with that one? Think before you speak. Am I the only one? We teach people with high emotional. We teach refugees. We teach people in counseling. We teach people even in one-on-one Bible studies with Celebrate Recovery. We teach breathing techniques. We teach how to calm yourself down and shut those emotions off. Number three, he wept and mourned. Church, a proper biblical response to violence, wrong, injustice is not anger. It is not go getting your guns, let's get a noose, and let's go hang those outlaws that hung up the stage. The proper biblical response is a broken heart. Have you been crying in your soul, in your spirit, the last couple weeks, or even before with the virus? Have you been weeping inside? Have you been shaking your head, watching the news? Has it broken your heart? Weeping is crying on the outside. Mourning is deeper. My car. Here's one we don't many times think about. Those young men hurt themselves more than they hurt me. My car is a thing. The paint can be redone. I've got insurance. Those young men, in an act of what seemingly is random violence, attacking a car, somebody they don't even know, in a church parking lot, and then riding away laughing, they've injured their souls. And step four, fast and pray. I fasted and prayed. You know the difference, right? Praying is simply regular prayer, something we do all the time, a conversation with God. Fasting goes deeper. Fasting, you shut off the news. You don't look at Facebook. You may not eat. You may not drink. You may just have vegetables or juice, but you don't do your normal routine. You stop feeding the appetites of your flesh and your soul and yourself. You focus only on this thing that's broken your heart. Okay, so church, there's four things to do before you get up. Before you call the insurance company. Before you go looking for your gun. Before you respond in anger. Before you march in a parade. Before you hit somebody. Before you say that word. Use that gesture on the freeway. Before you tell a friend, man, I can't believe it. If they would have done that to my... Before all of that stuff. You come before God brokenhearted and you fast and you pray and you mourn. Number five, then you intercede. You cry out to God specifically, and I don't have time to go back and read all the scripture, but in the Bible, when the people of God pray, they repeat God's word back to him. We listened to David Jeremiah this morning on the television. He said he reminded his church, you know, when you're praying, you're not giving God information. We know that, right? God already knows what happened. But if you read through the scriptures, you'll see the people of God. I go to this side more because there's a few more people. But you guys are special too. Okay? There's just more over there, so I go more to that side. I'm kidding. The people of God, when they call out to God, when they pray, they quote his word. They remind him of his promise. You think God has Alzheimer's? Is God old like me and forgetful? No. When you call out to God, when you intercede, you say, God, those kids, those boys? Where are their parents? How come they weren't in church? How could they do something like that to an almost brand new immaculate car? And why? You intercede from a broken heart and you remind God of His promise. God, Your word says that You so loved the world. God, Father, You, Jesus died for everybody. Lord, Malachi says to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, the hearts of the children back to the Father. You call out to God. Nehemiah did that. He reminded God of His people. You see, it wasn't about gates. You say, well, the story's about the broken down gates of the city and the wall of the city. Of course, you've all seen battle scenes like Lord of the Rings. The gates, that's the fortress, that's the stronghold. That's what stops everything. You've seen that in all the old movies, the gates of the city. Extremely important. In Judaism, the elders would go out there and that was their court. The gates of the city were the defense. They were the meeting place. They were what controlled the culture and the society. We don't have walled cities now and fortified bastions and all that. But in this case, it meant the people of God are in disarray. The temple, our worship, everything about the culture, everything holding the people together is broken down and gone. America, San Diego, California, things, the very fabric of our society, our culture, respecting property. I was taught to respect property. I was taught to respect the rights of others. I was never taught to hate or be prejudiced or racist or discriminate. I was taught to be a good citizen and a good neighbor. This all went together. The fabric of our culture, the walls of our culture are being destroyed. They're broken down. They're in ruins. We need to intercede. We need to intercede. We need to intercede. We need to cry out to God. God, where is mercy? Where is justice? Who is right? I watch the news media. The stories conflict. Wear a mask? Don't wear a mask. Get tested? Don't get tested. Go out? Stay home. I don't know, God. I've got friends that are protesting, others that are anti-protest. I've got people that love the police. I've got people that don't like the police. God, what is right and wrong? Number six. We need more of number six. He confessed. Brother, I'm sorry. You can go sit down back wherever you'd like to sit. If you're good there, I'm good there. Sorry, I got going and I forgot you. I'm sorry, Dad. Thank you so much for helping. He confessed for his people. He confessed for himself. He confessed for his family. We need to own up to our responsibility. If you have failed to teach, if you saw somebody in the parking lot or at the beach or at Walmart, if you saw somebody being bullied, teased, discriminated, laughed at, harmed in any way, verbally or whatever, if you saw and didn't act, shame on you, confess to God. If you said, I'm keeping out of this, I don't get it, I'm just going to sit back and stay home and let the world go to hell in a handbasket. Confess your attitude to God. Whatever part you have in America sliding down a slope, call out to God and confess it to God. God, my people, I don't care what color you are. God, my people, we have sinned. We've had anger. We've had resentment. We've had bitterness. We've let the seeds fester and let this thing brew and build up. Confess. And then after doing all that, listen correctly. Sit down and calm down. Weep and mourn. Fast and pray. Intercede to the God of heaven. Confess your part. Own up to what you've done in the problem. Then, church, and only then, number seven, do we get involved. After doing those six steps, checking myself, my mind, my heart, my spiritual condition, the way I'm treating my fellow man around me, after checking all of that, then you're ready to do something and get involved. Why is it bad if Ned would have just jumped up and ran out and reacted? What if one of those little kids, a 13-year-old boy, what if one of them came back and you caught him? If you were wound up emotionally, really wound up, could it have gone wrong?
Yeah.
I have heard so many people in the last 10 years talk about speaking the truth. Well, Pastor Dan, you know what? I just speak the truth. We just got to be speaking the truth. I just told her the truth. Well, the whole verse is speak the truth in what? In love. If you can't do it in love, then you don't have the right to speak. If you can't love the way Jesus loved, then we need to, forgive me, church, shut up. But what did Nehemiah do? Oh, this step is really important. He used his influence. He used his influence. All of us have influence. You know something in the police department, you know a teacher, a principal, your neighbor maybe is a firefighter, somebody, you know somebody on the city council. All of us have influence at some level. Nehemiah used his influence as a cupbearer to the king, but he prayed. He didn't go to the king. Persian kings, if you went the wrong way, the wrong time, they're in a bad mood, you could be killed. Very touchy, very temperamental. Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven, made certain that he had confessed, made certain that he knew what he was doing, and then he went into the presence of the king, humbly, quiet, like a servant. And the king noticed and said, "What do you want?" And Nehemiah, in wisdom, made a request. And I got to give you, because we may run out of time, I have to give you step number 8. And I'm using the whole Bible. This isn't in Nehemiah 1 or 2. This is from Genesis through the end of the book. Look at the big picture. Pull back. Pull back. In every story in the Bible, where's Jesus? Where's redemption? Where's forgiveness? What is God doing to work His plan? What is God's plan for America right now? The coronavirus is global. They say it's a pandemic. What is God doing? Did you ever think in your life the world would like take a pause? What is God doing? Is God unaware? Is He asleep? Is He on vacation? Is He watching? Is He working a plan? Does He care? Every opportunity. Now, I can't tell you how, Ned, but somehow, in dealing with your car, you would be given a chance to share your faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know how, when, or where, on the phone with the insurance company. Maybe they caught the young boys, and a cop was holding 6 young guys in their skateboards, and they called you and said, "We want you to come and talk to the..." I don't know when or where. You can only use your imagination, but you would have a chance then to do something. Remember the big picture. Where's Jesus in this whole thing? Nehemiah, brokenhearted. I love the fresh air, by the way. I always sweat a lot when I preach, so I love in the air, but it's really messing with my notes, but I love it. Leave the door open. This is great. Nehemiah chapter 2. He's going to go to King Artaxerxes. And these kings killed people that ticked him off on a regular basis. It says, when the wine was before him, I jumped to chapter 2. When the wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now, you've all heard enough Bible, right? You know why the cupbearer was so important? Because family members usually wanted to get rid of kings and queens. This is not new in our story in Nehemiah. This has happened from the dawn of history all the way through Europe and still happened in the Middle East and happens all the time. Somebody's in control, you don't like them, you kill them. And poisoning was one of the common ways. So Nehemiah has a position of trust and respect. When you go to the police station, You go with respect. You go with earned credibility. You've been a good neighbor. You've been a good citizen. When you go to the school, you don't want to grab that little kid who bullied your granddaughter by the throat. You go there calmly, with dignity and respect, showing respect to the teacher, the school board, all of it. You don't go angry. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
And with your influence, then you make a request. The king is going to honor the request. And Nehemiah is going to go back and start the rebuilding process. Now, lest you think that Nehemiah is our hero, the good guy in the white hat, Nehemiah is not perfect. He's just a regular guy like all of us. There's going to be some faults that show up in the book of Nehemiah and in the story. You don't have to be perfect. There's only one that's perfect. That's our Savior. But Nehemiah is going to be used by the Lord. So don't respond to a person, a group, an idea, an opinion, a situation, a feeling, a reaction, even a suggestion or a program until you get all the facts. How many times have I reposted something on Facebook only later to be embarrassed by finding out that I shouldn't have posted that? Anybody happen? Anybody else besides me? Get all the facts of an argument. Have you ever gotten between somebody arguing? A couple of kids, a neighbor, whatever. And when somebody tells their side of the story, if they're good at all in the presentation, your heart kind of goes out. You kind of empathize and you're like, wow, you feel their injustice. You feel really, really bad. And then they leave and the second person comes and tells their side of the story and you go, wow, I really understand your side. And now you got a problem. You don't really want to be Judge Judy, okay? We have to listen with discernment and be aware. And then, even then, if you feel you should say or do something, be like Jesus. Be Christ-like and be humble. All right, I'm going to read through the main points again and change the words just a little bit. So practice discernment. Avoid excessive negative spirit like victim, anger, revenge, whatever. Learn to listen. Use spiritual disciplines correctly. I work with a lot of guys. I mentor a lot of young men. And I have trouble getting guys to write and journal. Guys like quick little devotions on their phone or something real easy. And nothing wrong with that. But I think if you write, if you take your time, if you get apart from a situation, you can process a lot better. I've got a couple verses in conclusion. Luke 18, this is known as the judge who was not honest. He wasn't really a good guy. And the widow lady comes to him over and over and over again. And finally, he's like, you know what? I don't fear God or man, but this woman is wearing me out. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 7, it says, and will not God give justice to his chosen who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I will tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. And at the end of this parable, Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Puts the whole thing back in perspective. See, it's not about bricks and mortar. It's not about a car. It's not about an incident that happened or an article or whatever. Even though those things may be really hard and harsh and important to us, Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him that is the head. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in him who is the head. Not leadership, not politicians, not the European collaboration, not any big power source. We are to grow up and be mature under him and speak the truth in love. So the last slide. There's a couple questions. Maybe I didn't put them on. They're there in your bulletin. I'm sorry, my bad. They're in your bulletin. The last part of my presentation, would you please ask yourself these two questions? And I'm asking myself these two questions right now. What am I doing? Not what are they doing. What am I doing to promote peace, healing, reconciliation, righteousness, and mercy? And what am I doing to promote the kingdom of God and share the good news of Jesus Christ? There's a testimony with a virus. There's a testimony with injustice and violence and craziness. There's a testimony. There's a bigger picture going on. What are you doing to share the bigger picture with a world that seems like it's kind of going a little bit crazy? Is our country changing? Yes. Is our culture changing? Yes. No one knows what it will be when we go back to normal, but God is still on the throne. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's be people of love. Let's know the truth and speak the truth, but let's always do it in love. And before you react, sit down. Pause. Wind down your emotions and think and call out to God. God bless you, church.
Amen. Please stand up. How you feel? Good? I think some people like sleeping or something like that. Huh? So let's start something from there. From there, don't move. Just go around and say the people. Say hi to the people next to you, behind you. Say hi from there. Say hi, good to see you. Good to see you. It's so nice to see everybody in the sanctuary. Amen. It's so nice. Do you feel the mountain?
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one.
Amen. Yeah.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one.
Amen. It's like that.
And we can see that God, you're moving a mighty river through the nations. When young and old return to Jesus, fling wide you heavenly gates.
Yeah.
Prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing. Songs that bring your hope. Songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon and just sing.
You can dance a little bit.
Did you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness? And here we see that God, you're moving A time of jubilee is coming when young and old return to Jesus. Fling wide, you heavenly gates. Prepare the way for the race of the Lord.
We say,
open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing.
Yeah.
Songs that bring your hope. Songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance of dawn injustice. Open up. Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing.
Yeah.
Songs that bring your hope. Songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance of dawn injustice.
One more time, sir.
Open up the doors and let the music play. Let the streets resound with singing.
Oh yeah.
Songs that bring your hope. Songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance a song in the stage.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, that risen, the risen's one.
Hallelujah! If you clap your hand for Jesus, I want to hear something more.
And for Jesus.
So, you remember this song? We say, you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing it again.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven.
Oh, yes.
You are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven.
We say,
and you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are thy spirit inside me.
Oh, yes.
You ride upon the cloud. You lead me to the truth. You are thy spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. And you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing it again. You are my strong melody. You are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect right. And I will sing to you forever. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loved me.
Yes.
You poured out all the blood. You died upon the cross.
You are my Jesus, love me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. 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 One more time. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You are my Father in heaven. You are thy Spirit inside me. You are my Jesus who loved me. Hallelujah. Woo. God is good. All the time, 24/7. God is good. Amen. No, he never let go. Never. Never. He always there. For you, for me. When you pray, when you go and sit down, how the pastor say, and you say, Jesus, whew, I need help here. I need you here right now. For wisdom, for everything. It's when you quiet, he coming. Open the gate of the heaven. Blow power, wisdom in you. Amen. He never let go. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, who then shall I fear? Who then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth.
And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, who then shall I fear? Who then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
You keep on running and you never let go.
Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
And I can see the light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes,
still I will praise you. Still I will praise you.
I can see the light. Woo! Yes, I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes,
still I will praise you. Still I will praise you.
no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
Yeah!
Oh no, you never let go till they come and turn the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
One more time, church! Woo!
Singing.
Oh no, you never let go till they come and turn the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me.
So high, so strong, Jesus.
Oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the. I can hear you. Oh no, you never let go every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
One more time, sir. We say.
Till they come, till they storm. Oh no, you never let go. Every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go. Lord, you never let go. Oh no, you never let go. Till they come, till they storm. Oh no, you never let go.
Every high, every low.
Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Oh no, you never let go through the calm, through the storm. Oh no, you never let go every high, every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me. Lord, you never let go of me.
Believe in that. Amen. Woo!
Thank you, Father, because you never let go. We want to worship you. We want to worship you. Not only here in the sanctuary. We want to worship you 24/7 when we're driving, when we walk, and the job, and the house. We want to worship you. This is our desire, Lord. Thank you. You know that song. Sing with me.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every break that I take, every moment and way, Lord, hide your way in me. This is is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart. I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
We say,
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every break that I take, every moment and the way, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every break that I take, every moment and the way, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every break that I take, every moment and the way, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every break that I take, every moment and the way, Lord, have your way in me. Jesus, you have your way in me. Oh, yeah. You have your way in me.
Hallelujah. Put your hand together for Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for this wonderful time that we can stay here with you and breathe your presence. Thank you, because you blow peace and everybody can go home full here and come back next Sunday to worship you like that, together, like church. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to worship you together one more time. Thank you, because everything we have coming from your hand. Thank you, because we can put food on the table, because this coming from your hand. Thank you for the job that we have, and we pray for every people that don't have any job right now, that you open the gate of the heaven and bless every family, bless every people in this country, in this world. Blow peace, blow wisdom, blow any power, and the people can open his heart and recognize that you are the Savior, the King of Kings, Lord. We pray for that in this beautiful morning that you make for us. In Jesus' name, we say, church, amen, amen, amen. Have a wonderful day. You guys, you look at me from Facebook, for YouTube. Have a wonderful day too. God bless you. God bless everybody. Amen. Amen.